From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, a deeper look at yesterday's release of Medicare data and ophthalmologists.
But first, threats are flying back and forth today between Russia and Europe over the situation in Ukraine. Today, Russian President Vladimir Putin warned that Russia might shut down the flow of natural gas to Ukraine if its gas bill isn't paid soon. Meanwhile, NATO's top military commander in Europe warned that if the Russian military doesn't pull back from Ukraine's eastern borders, NATO and American troops could be deployed along Russia's border. NPR's Ari Shapiro is covering the crisis from Donetsk in eastern Ukraine. And Ari, the Ukrainian government has offered amnesty to some pro-Russian protesters who took over government buildings where you are in eastern Ukraine. How did the protesters respond?
Well, remember, initially, there were three buildings that were taken over by protesters. There was Kharkov, Donetsk, and Luhansk. I'm in Donetsk, where the protesters apparently do not have weapons. In Kharkov, government officials took back the building. But the really touchy situation is the third city, Luhansk, where I was yesterday, because the building they've occupied there is a security services building that is full of weapons. They have grenades and automatic weapons, gas masks. We saw people walking back and forth on the roof of that building with automatic weapons. And so now the Ukrainian interior minister in Kiev says he has spoken with the people in Luhansk and told them if they put down their weapons and they leave, they will not be prosecuted. He's offered amnesty, as you say. A lot of these people are pretty diehard. Some of them probably are not. So far, they have not left, but we're waiting to see what happens. The protesters do not have a sort of formal media affairs wing, as governments do, so it's hard to know exactly what their reaction is, but it looks like the standoff is still going on.
And there's an ultimatum, right? A 48-hour ultimatum that is about to run out.
Yeah, we've heard from Kiev that this will end within 2 days, as they said, whether it ends peacefully or violently. But nobody really wants to go the violence route. Even the protesters with the weapons say they are guarding the weapons closely to make sure they don't fall into the hands of criminals or people who would use them wildly. The government has been really reluctant to send people in. Even in Kharkov, where they did stage what they called an anti-terror operation, they brought in law enforcement officials from outside of the city to perform the operation. And one reason that they did that is that, to some extent, the local police sympathize with the protesters. Mm. There's a lot of pro-Russian sentiment in these communities, and some of the police may sort of think the protesters are doing the right thing.
Well, and what about the other people that you have been speaking to in this area of eastern Ukraine? What do they feel like when it comes not just to people occupying buildings, but whether they'd be better off as part of Russia or part of Ukraine?
Well, eastern Ukraine has deep ties with Russia historically, economically, linguistically, culturally. When I was in Kiev earlier this week, the interviews were all in Ukrainian. Here in eastern Ukraine, the interviews are all taking place in Russian. We also see a generational divide where older people who grew up in the Soviet Union, many of them really miss those days. Younger people tend to identify more with Europe in the West. There is a lot of support for the Join Russia movement, but even people who would like to align more with Russia, many of the ones I talked to, do not believe protesters are doing anyone any good by holing themselves up in these buildings and demanding a referendum that even many people sympathetic to the protesters don't believe will ever happen.
And are people just carrying on business as usual if they've got jobs? Are they just continuing to go to work amid all of this?
Yeah, it's a little bit strange. You go to the center of the protests and it seems like a war zone. There are these barricades set up with razor wire and tires and sandbags, and people have Molotov cocktails stashed that they are ready to deploy should it become necessary. And then a few blocks away, grandmothers are sitting on benches, kids are eating ice cream, street musicians are playing music. It's a very, very different situation the minute you leave the scene of the standoff.
Giving you the sense that what, people just don't care which way it goes?
Yeah, I mean, whether people are sympathetic to Europe or sympathetic to Russia, a lot of people here say they're just not political. What they want more than anything else is stability, knowledge that the future will not put them in a different country than the past. Whether they would prefer that they align with Europe or prefer that they align with Russia to the east, they just want to know where they stand.
And how are people feeling about the United States and its role in all of this?
Even among the most anti-American people, once you actually sit down and start talking, everybody's just people and it's a very small world. There was one protester I was speaking with in Luhansk yesterday who was raging against capitalism. And at the end, I said to him, look, I get that you're anti-American and you're anti-capitalism, but you're wearing a Nike baseball cap. He said, yeah, but it's made in Russia. I said, well, it's a small world. He said, it is a small world, but God is in the sky and Russia is on the land. And then everybody sort of laughed. So even in the places where there is the most anti-American sentiment, you know, everybody's just people.
NPR's Ari Shapiro joining us from Donetsk in eastern Ukraine. Ari, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Jeremy.